Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by Jordan Thompson. Jordan was out in Vegas recently sparring with Tyson Fury in the build-up to the Wilder fight. Gave us a fascinating insight into what it was like in the inner sanctum.
Very much so.
We're also joined by Mike McLean, who you may remember from The Big Breakfast. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, and he's got a new book out. He was chatting about that, talking a bit of football, bit of City as well.
Yeah, our bits we talked a bit about last night.
We did.
You'll discover that I couldn't speak.
And he was in a bit of a state today. But anyway, here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs with you through until four here on TalkSport, where this afternoon we wonder if Newcastle win the FA Cup, will they rename St James's Park Bruce Arena?
Very good.
No, Mike Ashley will probably sack Steve and appoint Bruce Arena, won't he?
You've got to know your American football managers, but that's very good.
Here
coming
we
up between now and four, we'll build up to tonight's FA Cup games. Tyson Fury's Vegas sparring partner? Sparring partner.
It's a sparring partner.
I know, I told you.
You're having a bit of a mare. More of that in a moment.
More of that in a minute.
Yeah.
Sparring partner Jordan Thompson pops in, and why Dortmund will be a no-brainer for Burlingame. Burlingham's June Birmingham.
Burlington Bertie.
I don't
Bertie.
Know why I bother, really. 20 years, I've no better than I was on day one.
Okay, well, there we are. That's a proud boast.
It is.
We'll also take your calls. You are having trouble with your words today, though, so we'll explain.
That looks a bit odd.
We'll take your calls, emails, texts and tweets, and City supporting comedian Mike McLean joins us in the studio, as does Deacon Blues frontman, of course, Ricky Ross. Trains permitting, we should add there, but more on that later.
There's all this, plus Tim Vickery tells us why Maradona and Riquelme are arguing over a chair.
Yeah.
And how Barry's FC... Perry FC.
Just take a deep breath, Andy. You're a bit overexcited.
On the catwalk.
Did somebody leave some Haribo on the desk somewhere? You're a little bit overexcited.
I am overexcited. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It is.
It's the fact that Chelsea played so well.
Yeah, they did play very well. 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. Before we talk Chelsea, let's just. You were just talking to your bank.
And yes.
A very odd conversation. in which you started off by saying much thank you very much.
that was after we did.
Oh, much thank you very much. Well, you're Stanley Unwin.
Much thank you very much.
And then you said at the end of the call,
see you soon.
Yeah, thanks very much. Much thank you very much and see you soon to someone you're never going to, who's on the end of a call centre
never
line.
Never going to see them again.
Call centre in Cardiff, quite possibly. But that was, honestly, it did feel right up there with, you know, putting inappropriate kisses on the wrong text.
Yeah.
So we thought that might lead to something this afternoon. If there's a kind of a really embarrassing moment that you want to relive this afternoon when you just kind of gave the inappropriate response, let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. And tweet to TSH&J. I remember years ago, one of the guys that co-wrote Like a Virgin for Madonna, you know, the song that kind of helped make her career.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that song.
They finally met her. The songwriter said finally met her. And they said, well, he said, yeah, Madonna, this is so-and-so. The guys that wrote the song, this is Madonna. And the guy went in for the hug.
Oh, no.
Because he thought, you know, we've bonded. I gave her one of the biggest. Went in for the hug.
Yeah.
She wasn't having it.
Really?
She kind of went through with it, but apparently she wasn't keen.
She'd be even worse.
He felt a lot closer to her than she did to him, apparently. But Like a Virgin meant more to him than it did to her.
She'd hose him down with some gel.
Quite possibly. Anyway, inappropriate responses, whether they're physical, digital or Andy on the old school restricted bandwidth. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
And before we get on to last night's football, did you see this amazing story that they've discovered that parrots can work out odds, like betting odds?
I did see that, yeah.
We've got one coming to Cheltenham next week, Polly Power.
We will. I was thinking that, Andy. We should definitely take Polly Power to Cheltenham, and we'll put Polly up against Paddy.
Is she related to tinsel by any chance?
No. It won't sound like a turkey. That will be a parrot sound effect. I think you'll find when we take Polly Power next week.
Can
we look
Polly
at the
Power?
Producer? Yeah, he's
much.
A touch sceptical.
He often is.
I had a call person say "love you, bye" as they finished the call.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Good. Yeah, it happens. That's from David Johnson. Thank you, David.
Now, of course, a lot of Liverpool fans would be disappointed last night that they've gone out of the cup and they're having a wonderful season.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that caller? So I took the dog for a walk after the game and listened to the start of the sports bar with Perry and with Adam last night.
Yeah, it was good.
And the guy David called and he was a Liverpool fan and he was saying, "We're going to blow it.
We're going to,
you got to win four more games. Sydney got to win all. Yeah, we haven't done it. We're going to blow it. We should have bought Lewandowski and Haaland," he's saying. And they're saying, "Who would you drop for him?" Well, never mind that. We should have bought. It was TalkSport 101. It was the call, the completely irrational caller after. I mean, it didn't make any sense, but it was gold.
They played better than they played on Saturday. You know, it was a good performance by Chelsea.
It's a good game.
It was a very good
game to watch.
How much better are Chelsea to watch for the neutral this year? I know they're not as good. They're not going to finish third like they did last year. They may not even be top four, but they are just so much better for the neutral to watch. Every game they're involved in's got goals in it. When they played Leicester, both sides have 50% possession. They go for it under Lampard. They really do. And I think, I know we've got the wrong tea.
Somebody had put a piece of A4 paper in some cold hot water. Not great.
And there have been some real up and down moments. There have been some low moments this year and there have been some very high moments. But the potential, Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
That's the seventh top young prospect we've blooded this year. I mean, not many other clubs can do that.
How did you get him out of Rangers? How did that come about? I bet they were delighted watching him last night.
We won't go into that too much. But
dog eat dog, is it?
Tremendous. But I mean, Ali Ross got hold of me. He sent me a text about Billy Gilmore. He's very excited about him, understandably, as a massive Tartan Army supporter.
He's already played Scotland sort of age group. Has he played under 21s? He must have done.
Yes, I think so. I'm pretty sure he's
he should be straight in the first team.
I think he will be. But it was very funny, a piece by Mark Irwin in The Sun, slightly, obviously didn't quite know. His piece went, "So much for giving the kids a chance," and everything. He said, so it was goodbye to the baby blues and hello to the old guard. You think, well, except for Billy Gilmore, who's the player of the match, and the fact that the other five or six are all injured.
I think the point he was making is that he can still get a tune out of the older players, Giroud and Pedro and Willian and stuff.
Well, they're great
players.
Still look
very good.
They are great players, but they are... past their best, but I mean they have got a lot of injuries. Essentially, I think I'll get a game for Chelsea by the end of the season. They have had, and I mean a lot of clubs have got injuries, but they've got quite and when you've got them, the more you get, the more you do. Anyway, so I was saying, Liverpool fans like Sanjeev Basco, I would be very upset. Our old friend Sanjeev.
Yeah.
But there was a piece today about in the Daily Star. It's funny. Tellies as large as the wall will have 100-inch screens.
100-inch screens.
And to illustrate it, they put in a very, very large picture of Sanjeev. Massive picture, but no reference to him whatsoever. I'm holding up to the camera.
You sure that's not an advert about the show he's on TV tonight?
There's no reference to Sanjeev whatsoever.
No, do you know what it is? I think if you look back, I'll go back through the paper with you. There's this promo from Gold. He's in a new show tonight.
Is he?
And I reckon if you go through it, there'll be pictures of the other actors.
Oh, really?
Around that story. Yeah, I think in context that will make sense. Out of context, I mean,
maybe
I agree.
Maybe I'm doing them a disservice then. It just seemed a bit odd. I thought it was a large story about large today, so we'll put a picture of a large TV star.
Chris Daughton liked your description of Jordan Thompson as a Tyson Fury's sparting partner. And he's looked it up in the dictionary. It says sparting partner, one who dresses up with you to reenact famous battles from ancient Greece.
Well, that's very much.
That's a nice idea.
That's very much
his
role.
I once visited a client and they made me a cup of tea. Instead of saying lovely, or thank you, I combined the two and said, "Love you." Mickey, that's from. Thank you, Mickey.
That's
so it's
good.
More common, Andy. Your thank you very much and see you soon.
And a word for Sian Massey, who was running the line last night. She's very much an unsung hero, I think, for some women.
Pioneer.
Well, Wendy Toms came before, she's done a
second wave of pioneers.
She's still a pioneer. She's a Premier League pioneer.
Yeah, she certainly is. Yeah,
and she's a hero for women in football and women officials. And she's got very low profile. Mm. You know, you don't get a lot of. You know, we see a lot.
What
of
do you want her to do? Be on the sort of that Danny Dyer's quiz show.
Admirable that she's got a low profile. Yeah. I'm not saying that as a criticism.
Sian Massey Ellis these days, isn't she? She's married. I thought it was Sian Massey Ferguson. That wouldn't have been right, would it?
Not really.
No, I've looked it up.
And he's back, Almiron. The streak's back on.
Yeah, what a good finish. Great backheel.
Steve Bruce getting a game out of him. Really playing well this season. And David McGoldrick, a first goal for him. Could be the start of something big. I've had a bet on him breaking Jeremy Jeremy Vardy. That's it.
Who's Jeremy Vardy?
You can have the cap, I'm off.
This is it. Hello, security. Yeah. He's fine. We've got nowhere to go after this.
Jeremy Vardy.
Anyway, keep those.
It's funny that I saw. Oh, just yeah, before go on. I saw 85-year-old Tom Mangold in the park this morning.
Who is he?
His dog. Oh, he's on Panorama for about 35 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that'll be me soon.
Soon?
Yeah, tomorrow.
The next 20 minutes by the sound of it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We're going to hear from Tyson Fury now. He took out some sparring partners to Vegas to work with him in the build-up to the Deontay Wilder fight. Our next guest was mentioned in dispatches. This is what he had to say about Jordan Thompson.
Jordan punches as hard as any heavyweight in history I've ever fought. He's a sheet of muscle, whatever he is, 15 stone or whatever. I think he can do something as well. He's undefeated in 10 fights.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very nice of him to say that, of course. Jordan's with us in the studio. Good to see you, Jordan.
Good to see you too. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a great pleasure.
We should say straight away we know each other because your dad's Jeff Thompson, my old friend, of course. You're definitely a chip off the old block.
Jeff's been in a few times, a former world karate champion, and he's talked about you, of course. You didn't go down the martial arts routes. He said you were boxing. I mean, I suppose we should start there. I mean, did you have a martial arts background like your dad?
I didn't actually have a martial arts background. I'd always grown up, I'd done a bit of pad work with my mum and dad in the gym, in the garage and stuff like that. But they never forced me into anything. They just gave me as much opportunity as I could have wished for being a teenager growing up.
Mum was a world champion too.
Can't forget that one. I was presented with every opportunity and I did football first to a decent level. I played tennis then after, and then I kind of fell into
boxing. You had hopes in tennis, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I mean, that was a great passion of mine. I love tennis. I still do love tennis. But it's a very tough sport, a very high-end sport. Unless you're competing in the top 50, top 100, so to say, you're not really earning a living. You're not really even breaking even. So it was a tough one. It was a tough decision to make, but I'm happy to be where I am now in the chosen sport.
Yeah. How did the Tyson link come about? You just approached by his
I think the link was made through management and promotion and stuff like that, and I think they just got hold of him and they said, listen, would you be up for some sparring with Tyson? I said, I didn't believe it, to be fair. I didn't believe it until the day I got on the plane. I was like, no, this is really happening. It's going to be a massive experience, which it definitely was.
Because build and size and everything and style, as much as Deontay Wilder has a definitive style.
Exactly.
That's why they felt you were a good match.
I think they got me in for more for the physical specimen I was. I mean, same stature, like a bit of a carbon copy of Wilder, being like 6'7", 220 pounds, 215 pounds walking around, so... it was a good fit. It was a good fit, and I'm sure they were happy with the work.
Yeah,
and I mean, actually being so close, I know that you were going to come home before the fight, but in the end, you ended up staying, watching it, being really a part of it. What a great experience for you!
I mean, especially with it being at the MGM, being one of the biggest heavyweight fights in the last 50 years or so. I mean, it was definitely a special night, and I think just feeling the atmosphere and being there,
something to aim for too.
Definitely something to aim for. It was. Definitely a boost in the right direction, that's for sure.
What's it like? What's it like to work with him? To work with Tyson? What was he like when you first went into the camp?
Tyson, he's a very, very special individual. He's a very warm, welcoming individual, which was it was a surprise to me. Like, I never buy into like the media hype and stuff like that. Like, what the media put out is what the media put out. But I always like to try and take people for what I experience and for what I see them as. And the first impression I got of Tyson is he's a great guy. Welcomed me into the gym, gave me some great feedback, some positive feedback on some constructive criticism, which I can definitely take away and work on and stuff like that. But just being him and getting to know him as a person was very insightful. He's a deep man as well.
Stupid question, but does he hit hard?
He does. He hits harder than a lot of people give him credit for. Does hit harder than a lot of people give him credit for, that's for sure.
And the style as well, Jordan. I mean, it's the way that we were talking about it before, and you said a slippery customer, and that's exactly what he is, isn't he? He's quite difficult to pin, isn't he?
For the sheer size of the man, like the skill level and the ring IQ and the craftsmanship that he's got moving around the ring and stuff like that, it is second to none. Very, very special for someone of his actual size and weight, which we've not seen in a very, very long time. I think someone of his weight, you'd be expecting him to like walk you down, big shots, but he's dancing around the ring, slip hitting you, making you miss, stuff like that. So it was great to learn from him. Being a big man myself as well, yeah. I felt like I learned a lot, and I can add stuff to my arsenal and stuff like that, and take a lot away from that sort of sparring there.
And you were saying to me earlier as well that how he rises to the occasion on the day, that this is the thing that makes him so special.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's an out-and-out winner. He oozes that confidence. He has that aura about him. It's something that I've been brought up with, obviously passed on from my mother and father. They come from a winning background, so I have a good sense of character. I have a good judge of character, and he has that energy and aura about him where he knows how to win, he knows what to do on the big stages, and he knows when to perform and when to turn that switch on.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with him is he's so strong mentally as well. Like going through all that he went through and stuff like that, it takes a hell of a man, and it takes a lot of character to come out the other side. And I think he's done that with shining colours, definitely.
So during the day, so the weeks leading up to the fight, you do a sparring session.
Yeah.
Then what would you do the rest of the day? How would you sort of spend your time?
So we found another gym out there as well. So we signed up to another fitness gym. So we were doing like one boxing session a day, one sparring session a day, and then some weights or some training as well in the meantime. We obviously, the first time being in Vegas, we got to see a little bit of Vegas, got to see a bit of the strip. But yeah, 6 weeks in Vegas, definitely too long.
I think you're
ready for a fight now.
Definitely ready for a fight.
Because you had a training camp, you haven't got a fight now.
Literally, no, not got a fight yet. There's talks of a fight, so I should be out hopefully late April, early May, and then once again in the summertime. So that's what I'm aiming towards. So there's a couple of dates to look towards, but the trick in boxing is you just got to always stay ready, be ready for whatever someone might throw at you or whatever opportunities might present themselves. So.
Is it 10 fights you've had so
10
far?
10 fights now, 10 professional fights, 10 wins, 8 stoppages. So I'm doing well up to now. Ready to step it up gradually. But you know, everything's timing, especially in a sport like this. But at the same time, it's momentum. So once you get momentum, it's really important.
This should help. I mean,
100%. Yeah, I mean, the momentum I've got personally from this has been great. So I'm keen to put that into action.
And explain the process for a young fighter. What does a young fighter do who's coming through? Does he need a manager? Does he need a promoter?
Fighter coming through? I mean, honestly, rule number one, just make sure you can sell tickets. If you can sell tickets, it make your life a whole lot easier. That's for sure. At the end of the day, it's all about bums in seats. That's what one of the things that I've been told throughout when I was coming up in my boxing career.
From Tyson as well.
Yeah, from Tyson as well. Trust me, I mean, that is an important thing. And you've got to know you've got to have your why, like your reason to want to fight and to want to go out there on the big stages and put yourself on the line. But as well as that, managers help, promoters help. You've got to have a solid team around you. And I think a good backing, a good family as well. Mm. A good family base will really help, because when times get hard, which they definitely will do in the boxing game, like all sports, but especially in boxing, I think the highs and the lows in boxing are quite extreme. But a solid family base will help you, and a good solid team around you. And always start with the foundation, so work from the bottom up.
So you knew how Tyson was going to fight on the night. You had a pretty good idea, because a lot of people were kind of sceptical about what he was saying, that he would sort of he'd dance and he'd jab. And
I thought he'd just do what he did in the first fight.
You never know with Tyson. Yeah. Like Tyson's one of them. He's very instinctive. I believe so. He's a very instinctive fighter. I do believe though that in this fight he was going for the stoppage. I mean, he kind of had to. With my method of thinking behind it was, if you're in America, you're against the reigning champion, you've got to take that title away from him. Yeah. And I just think after the first fight, which by the Queensbury boxing rules,
he won the fight, for sure
he won the fight. But being with it being in America, him getting knocked down twice, I was a bit skeptical after the fight finished. I was thinking, I could have just edited that. You never know. Like, we've seen worse decisions than that one as well. So I think him going into this fight, wanting that stoppage and wanting to take him out, I think that's shown on the night, because that's definitely what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, what an experience.
Thanks, Joel.
And Joel, best of luck in your career.
Thank you.
And
we'll follow you with interest.
Yeah, we certainly will. Hopefully see you again, and let us know when you're fighting. We'll keep in touch.
Definitely. 100%. Fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Jordan Thompson there, who was out in Vegas sparring with Tyson Fury before the Wilder fights.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us in the studio now to chat about his new book. Oh, I remember him. It is Mike Squeaky McLean. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much indeed, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, pleasure.
We were saying you came in a few years back.
Long time. Yeah, I think I was doing a big one night, a couple of nights stand up in Manchester. So I came on to promote it. And I've got to be honest with you, having come on that show, I didn't sell any more tickets.
Fantastic. Complete waste of time. Won't do
completely.
Anything.
Completely.
This won't do anything.
Listen to my agent. Nice. Hawks being Jacobs. Get me on a show that has got a lot of people that are going to listen. Thanks for having me on.
Honestly, you'll be shifting copies for fun after this. But people probably will remember you from Big Breakfast. They've not seen you on the road and stuff over the years. But you had dreams of being a pro footballer as a kid, didn't you?
I did. I played for Manchester Boys. And then I was lucky enough at school to, I was one of those players that wasn't skillful, but I was like a little terrier, like Dennis Wise. I remember the coach at school saying, "You win the ball and then just give it to somebody more skillful." Yeah. And that's what they said. So
but a lot of good players have made great careers doing that, haven't they? Seriously. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Totally agree. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to be picked and go to, it was back then, it was like 11 weeks at Platt Lane of Manchester City. And our coach at the time was Brian Kidd.
Wow.
And so we went every Thursday, I'd get my bike, cycle down, and I'd work my backside off. But I was small. I was very small. I was, you know. And at the 11 weeks, they say, you. And I was one of those that wasn't, and thanks for coming. And I cycled back to my mum and dad's house in Leven's Union, Manchester. Just crying. You couldn't even talk to me for about a week. My mum was typical Spanish mum. That's like, okay, you do not make it. Don't worry. Do you want something to eat? Not now, mum. I didn't make city. I know. Maybe you have a sandwich, or maybe you have a. Do you want like a nice bit of paella? Like, mum, I don't want anything. I just want to be left alone. Okay, do you go to bed? And half an hour later, you okay? I'm like, yeah. You fancy sandwich? Not now. Because that's what Spanish mums do. They feed you.
So you didn't. I mean, that was so you know trying to get in city. You didn't make City. Did you play anywhere else? Did you play?
No, I didn't. I mean, I played for the Junior Blues. That was a like all those that didn't make it. Then played for the Junior Blues. Yeah. City. It was good. And I didn't. I then got into like stand-up and comedy and magic, and that, and that sort of took me to where I am today, really. But I was fortunate enough to, when I did start making myself known on the telly, that I played for the showbiz team and I captained it, and it was great. And, you know, you played with legends, so many legends that had turned up, you know, Gascoigne and things like that, and Brian Robson and Lee Sharp. And I was a captain, and it was just fantastic. I you know, we travelled, played at the new Wembley, the old Wembley. I got sent off at Anfield. I'm happy to.
What for?
There was it was the young. It was the one out of Liberty X. I can't remember her name.
Oh,
and we. No, it was the lad out of Liberty X. And we sort of had a little bit of a spat, and I tried to throw in the head, and it was Mark Abey used to. Mark, see what I mean? This is not doing me well. If I'm honest, not good. I say to my sons now, because they both play well, Carter and Cooper, they're both good players, and I was like, you've got to be physical in midfield, you know, because, and we just laugh about it. We got sent off, and the whole crowd were booing at Anfield, and we just sat in the dressing room at Liverpool, just sort of laughing, going, "What are we doing? What are we?" And then when we did the match, we ended up being again opposite sides again, you know.
So. Now the match was the kind of forerunner of what has become the what we soccer. We were talking about it yesterday, and but that kind of big first celebrity football match, our old mate Terry Alderson played in that
Terry and I trained together. A great story. Terry's like we're doing the match, and he's like, you know, you're going to room with me. I was like, Terry, don't worry, I'll room with you. So we do that, and I'd rang up Jim Cassell the week before, and I said, I'm doing this thing called the match. He said, do you want to come and train with the academy at City? I'd love to. Didn't get signed, but they did go on to win the FA Youth Cup.
I'm just saying,
that's all I'm saying. I know you're looking at me thinking, oh no, but I did help them along the way. And then Terry got us a couple of days at Southend, so we went, and Steve Tilson was the manager. So we got there, and we're travelling up on the train. He's like, yeah, you're going to share a room, yeah. So I get there, and I ended up rooming with Rocky Marshall out of Holby City and Tom Craig at Coronation Street, and I left him to room with Mark Bosnich, and he wasn't happy.
At least two goalkeepers together.
Yeah, that's what they can talk goalkeeper.
But they became great mates, and you know, and I think looking back on it now, he thanks me, really.
He's
a cracking goalkeeper, Terry.
He was decent.
Really good.
Decent.
And he finished the match and then went and signed for Southend and was on the bench.
Yeah.
And I was like, how have you done that?
So magic was, you say magic was your way in. You bought a Paul Daniels magic set.
It did. Well done. You've read the book.
I have.
I did, and I got into that, and obviously I realised that nobody's going to, you know, do magic. So I sort of did that and levitated towards the acting and stand-up when I left school. Mm. And I always had that to fall back on. And then when the work dried up, as it does, you know, after Big Breakfast and 7 years of Rich and Judy, and the phone doesn't ring, like when the phone rang, I was like, what's that noise? You know? I had no idea. So I went back to doing stand-up. But I did like a Darren Brown was popular. So I did like a mind-reading stand-up. So I've mixed the two together. Yeah. And it's been brilliant, and I've loved it ever since, really.
You've got a fine acting CV. I mean, TV, theatre, and of course, pantomime. You've just done loads of that.
Yeah, I've done all right. I've not done too... Do you know what? I made a living out of it. And it's hard, and you guys will know, even in this day, to, you know, I was very fortunate. I mean, along the way, I've been fortunate. I did the Office Christmas special with Ricky Gervais, and you can't get any better.
How did that come about then? You do sort of, you explain in the book, don't you?
It was at one of those comedy awards, and he started, if I remember rightly, he sort of started saying something, and I ad-libbed with him, and he liked the fact that I ad-libbed with him, and, you know, and he likes people that can ad-lib. And then he'd come on Richard and Judy, and we always had a laugh, you know. And then I just got a phone call saying, look, he'd like to see you about, you know, doing the Office Christmas special. And I went to the BBC and I met him and Stephen Merchant. And Merchant first, and we had a chat and was like, yeah. And I'm terrible at remembering lines. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, because like every comic, they've got them written on the hand. You can't do that on TV.
Yeah.
And then I met with him and we had a laugh. And then I just remember there's like being a big bowl of sweets in the room in the BBC. And I said, all right, can I have one of these? He went, yeah, help yourself. And I just put them all in the bag and said, the kids will love these guys. And just walked out. But he was so nice. All he wanted to do on the day of filming was just make you laugh.
Yeah.
And once he'd got you, he doesn't let go. You know, he just keeps hold of you and makes you laugh and laugh. And I remember Steve Merchant saying to me, don't worry, Mike, we've got loads of tape.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stories, but one, you might be nice if you can tell. I love the story of you interviewed Britney, didn't you? Britney Spears, not Britney Smith from Arbroath.
Yeah.
Britney, for goodness sake.
I didn't get the chance to do the Arbroath one. Yeah. She's very hard to meet.
But I love that. There's a lovely little ploy when her and her people got a bit showbiz when you wanted, I think you wanted an autograph for your niece.
I did. My niece, Nicole, was a massive Britney Spears fan at the time. And so we flew out to interview her. Yeah. She'd won some award or something. And you get half an hour with these people. You don't get that long. And we'd been given this apartment that, you know. And So I drew a picture of Justin Mustache and Justin Bieber because she was going out with him at the time.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then I said to her, oh, look, you know, during the break of filming, is there any chance you could just sign this CD? I bought it. I didn't ask it for free. My niece is a big fan, and her and her people just took it off me and went, no, Britney doesn't sign anything. And I said, I'm sure Britney does. So Britney can. And I said, look, I brought my own Sharpie. You don't have to. No, I'm sorry, Britney will not sign.
Oh,
and I know. And I was like, okay, no worries. And I was really annoyed, and I went, nah, don't worry about that. I said, that'll make a great story for when I get back to England, because the press will be jumping on this, because it's for my little 8-year-old niece. And as soon as I said that, guess what? Britney signed.
Britney sure did.
Great. Well, as we said, it's full of good fun stories, and some of them football related. Rod Stewart's team, and a few.
That was a good laugh.
There's some good behind the scenes stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
I Remember Him by Mike Squeaky McLean is published by, is that FCM?
Yeah.
And where can we get copies, Mike?
You can either Amazon. I'm very fortunate. It's on Amazon, and it'll be in every bargain basement bin as you leave the store, I'm guessing. It's funny, it's easy to read, and it just talks about, you know, times on Rich and Judy, and obviously playing football with Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, it's not every day you get to go to his house and see he's got a football pitch in the bottom of his garden and you're allowed to, you know, play on it. And then I peed in his pool. So that was another day.
He's got a knee injury now. I'm not sure he's going to come back at 75.
No, it could be.
He didn't come back when he did play, because you have to play right back and he doesn't track back. He gets an Uber to the ball. That's
it's his
like.
Pitch and his ball. I mean, he could literally kick
you
all out.
We warmed up once and I said to him, this is really nice. I said, this is an ex-council house. And he sort of didn't know whether, you know, and he said, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? I said, yeah. And he said, I'm trying to get some floodlight fitted. I said, oh, of course, yeah. He said, but the council wouldn't allow him because it was an eyesore from the M25. And then one day we turned up and he goes, right, lads, I've got these two new players playing. I'm thinking, oh, right, okay. And he walked Gordon Strachan and Gary McAllister. And I said to him, are they any good? But I played for 2 years and it was a real pleasure to play with him. And he had this most amazing house that, you know, I get there, I'm from Manchester, and he gives me the code for the gate. And I'm thinking, right, I'm in Rod Stewart's house now. Do I ring the lads, get them to bring the van around and empty this place? Or do I play? And I played, and it was a pleasure to play.
Brilliant.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport now. And if I said Skegness is Jolly Fisherman, what do you picture in your mind's eye? Can you see him on that infamous poster?
Yeah, I know about this story.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
They may get rid of him. And I do wonder if it might have a knock-on effect to sport. The Jolly Fisherman mascot. If you've seen the Skeggy posters, they're set.
Yeah.
Viz do a version of it. But if you've ever seen the Skegness poster, you'll know who we're talking about when we say the Jolly Fisherman. He's an institution.
He's the face of Skegness.
He is, that's right,
said the mayor.
But he's been 112 years, but he could face the axe thanks to the world of health and safety. I wonder if it will have a knock-on effect into sport and football, because apparently health and safety rules say that volunteers can spend only 20 minutes a time inside the costume.
Have you ever heard
that? So where does that leave Harry the Hornet, who's there pitchside for 90 minutes?
You know, they need a minder. There are hygiene risks if more than one person dresses up in it. I mean, honestly,
kind of is at the moment.
You get the sense with these people, they've got nothing else to do with their day but come up with stuff like this. Because really, I mean, I think you could survive longer than 20 minutes in a mascot suit.
Yeah. I mean, so apparently you can't do more than that, then you've got to have a little bit of a break. So they're up in arms. And the other things that is a problem, apparently, is lack of funds. I don't know how much he costs to run. It about 500 grand a year being a Jolly Fisherman? No storage space for the costume.
Oh, dear.
That feels a bit.
Yeah.
And a dwindling number of volunteers. Well, maybe that is the problem. If no one wants to be a Jolly Fisherman, then you understand it. I bet they'll all be queuing up now. It should be like a national service in Skegness. Everybody has to do it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's true.
And then they can't get around.
Well, they could get several suits made, you know, if they really wanted to keep it going. So they could, you know, they could rotate the suits.
I think they sort that out anyway.
Yeah, well done to inventor Tyler Ball, 20, of Milton Keynes in Bucks. He's turned over £500,000 in just 30 days thanks to his best-selling 55-pound testicle trimmer.
Okay.
And he took this into the Dragon's Den, actually, and Duncan Ballantyne had to decline when it went terribly wrong. That's why I'm out, he said.
Not been in it for about 10 years.
You're right.
Not been in it for
Come
10
on,
years.
Come on, it's topical material.
Which leads us into our core
Where's
subject.
My teeth gone?
Andy today has been really struggling with just
by
talking,
my standards.
Just talking today, just the basics, just anything,
yeah, anything.
On and off air. Yeah.
Yes, it's been difficult.
And we used to play that game of years ago, well, on the show, we used to play the Barry Bannon game.
Yes.
Which, because Barry's been talking in the press with Wednesday in Action tonight, of course. He's been talking about, you know, the difficulties of playing City.
It was a game
City.
You and your son devised.
Yeah.
We all got into it. It was mad. It
just become this stupid thing. I mean, it involves quite a lot of dead air, but it was like a game of dare. Who would be the first to crack? One of us would say, Barry. Bannon. And you see how long you could last. Some of them would go
really
over days. Yeah. I'd phone him up and I'd go, Bannon. And then we'd get each other like that. You'd have a Barry hanging and then you'd have to come in with a Bannon. Sometimes weeks later.
It's got to be.
You should have kept a league table.
Now, I love this advert today. I love the reader's offers in the tabloid press.
Yeah.
And this is for the amazing value classic star soft touch multi-packet pocket. Multi-packet? What is wrong with me today?
Honestly, multi-pocket. I don't know what it is with you.
I've got vowel trouble, let's be
irritable
honest.
Irritable vowel syndrome.
I certainly have. Yeah. At the Aldon Blouson. With distinctive contrasting trim and lining.
Looks nice.
Yes,
yeah.
He does. But the picture of the bloke's wearing a shirt and tie. Who wears a shirt and tie with a blouson jacket like that? For goodness sake.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I love this bit in the ad, though. It says it's got the latest colours, including extremely smart stone. I never quite think of stone as an extremely smart colour.
No, it can be.
Oh, it can be.
You can dress it up. I think
you can.
Spare a thought for Lee Rumney, 29, Andy, who accidentally added 189 pieces of chicken to his Domino's delivery after a boozy night out.
That's
now, when you had a boozy night out Sunderland, he says, he said to mark his son's birth. So he's clearly gone online, isn't he? And he's put, how many chicken wigs do we want? And he's meant to put in, I don't know, 18? Put him and his mates? Oh, 189. 189. Imagine that order. You'd think someone at Domino's in Sunderland would phone up and say, you sure you want 189? That was Wing Central.
True, really.
It was all answered a pump.
Do you want to? Is Pelé available, Bill? Going to have a look
It'd
for him.
It'd be nice to find Pelé.
Yes, because we're going to speak to Tim Vickery soon. So
yeah.
I've got a T20 birthday spread for you. This is
okay.
The internationally famous game. It's not at all.
Not that
people love to play at home.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
that one that you also
Probably
become
don't.
So. No, they don't. You become very good at it over the years.
I've got to try and guess the age of this person.
That's
and you
right.
give me a spread of years to be within, don't you?
Now, if you don't know the person, it's always a bit more tricky for you. So I'll give you a nice spread of 10 here.
Yeah.
It's the chief executive of HM Revenue and Customs from 2012 to 16, Dame Lynn Homer.
Okay, and for what years?
2012 to 2016, so she's gone, we're all right.
Okay, yeah.
It's Dame Lynn Homer, and I forgot Homer's birthday last year. Dole!
Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.
68.
68? No, she's 63.
Oh, okay. How many years did you give me? You didn't, did you?
I gave you 10.
Oh, 10. Well, that's fine then, wasn't it?
Oh, I know how to play this game.
Wow, all the tension in that game. What a fantastic game it is. He's up there with the Barry Bannon game. Let's be honest.
It's not really.
Yeah.
There's an amazing photo from China today where, naturally, you know, people are trying to avoid contact, as we all are now. Hmm. And but this photo of this barber's cutting hair with shears, like the scissors are, and they're standing about 6 foot away. It's not going to be a great result, that, is it?
It's probably not going to be great, is it?
Like Patrick, what's his name? In Ryan's Daughter.
Oh, yeah. John Mills.
John Mills.
It's going to be a bit of a John Mills.
One of those.
Lovely contemporary reference.
That's very much, I've given up on contemporary references now.
I think you're best.
There's
do,
no
yeah.
point.
No.
And the Duke of Kent.
Oh, yeah.
The royal patron of the British-German Association. Yesterday presented a Medal of Honour. He only went there because they told him Michael Stich and Boris Becker were going to be there.
Yeah.
He thought it would be a bit of
what
tennis.
What he's saying is he loves
tennis.
He loves tennis.
Well, he does go every single day.
He goes every year. He does go every year.
So I try and tie into everything he does into tennis.
Good.
Do you want a good anecdote from Patrick Kidd in the Times Diary?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
It's a good diary. It's a good column, this.
Mm.
And he was talking about playing football in Germany. He said, football isn't my sport, but 20 years ago, as a commons researcher, I went on tour to Frankfurt to play two matches against German politicians and lobbyists.
Yeah.
The Brits squeaked a win in the Saturday fixture and naturally headed to the pub to celebrate long into the night. The Germans, I recall, went back into the training ground. They won the rematch the next morning 11-1.
Wow.
And I thought that says so much about the two countries and their approaches to football, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's very true.
It is.
I did have something else for you. Where was it? Oh, you want to say very, very happy birthday to Lord Bunbury, David English.
Oh, very happy birthday to
74, David. Not out.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Dave, happy birthday to you.
Only needs 26 for his 100.
That's it. We won't put it past him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just thinking about the changing nature of betting, really. I mean, there was a time when the only way people generally would bet, and it wasn't a million years ago, when people would just go to a bookmaker's, they'd know the race was coming up in 5 minutes, they'd go up to the counter with a couple of quid, and then they'd watch it. It would be sorted in seconds, wouldn't it? They'd have their little hunch or their tip, they put it on, they either tear up their ticket or they go back to the
window.
That's
kind of what I grew up with, really. So
get their cash.
I've changed recently, but that was the way I was used to
it. I mean, it was come on a long way, of course, and there are lots of weird and wonderful things. But I was interested to see a book, our good friends at Paddy Power, and I'm sure they're not alone in this, having a book on who will be Liverpool's next under-23 manager.
For goodness sake.
I just thought it seems odd, doesn't it? I mean, we've come a long way from £1.50 on number four, dog. Can I have a couple of quid
on... Neil Critchley who left, isn't he?
He's Neil Critchley. He's gone to Blackpool. Yeah, very, very good man by all accounts.
Yeah,
but it just seemed odd that there would be a book on something. How many people... And also that moment, if you're standing in that bookies, smoke-filled bookmakers, Capstan Falls, a fug of Capstan Falls strength above your head. And then you get your winner, you go up to the... You've got that sudden elation. But, I mean, when whoever, you know, say it goes, this, who's in the running at the moment? Gorse. Do you put your money on Steve Gorse?
Well, I might.
Steve gets the job. You don't stand there punching the air in the high street, do you?
Not really,
Not quite the same, is it? No. Quiet satisfaction.
It's interesting, because I have succumbed to the app recently.
Yeah.
And it is, of course, a lot easier. It's also a lot easier to spend a bit more money, actually.
Well, please gamble responsibly.
Well, absolutely.
You really need to.
Absolutely.
And I'll remind you of that in Cheltenham next week when you go chasing your losses.
I have a set amount. I'm very, very disciplined with my betting.
Chinny record.
No.
You have a set amount.
I do succumb to the odd Cheltenham thing where people are overhear Ruby or overhear somebody else saying
Cheltenham
friends down there. Well, I've only backed six in this race. I'll have another one.
Whatever you're doing next week, yes, please gamble responsibly. And we will be bringing you Cheltenham for the full 5 days. We'll be live with Green King and Paddy Power on Monday. Guests will include Ruby will be there. Ruby Walsh will be there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. We've never done a preview show, so it's going to be interesting.
So we'll be live from a Green King pub in... We'll give you a bit more information if you'd like to come along and say hello if you're there for the festival. And then Tuesday to Friday, as always, we'll be in Paddy Power's box. Lots of top guests from the world of racing, football, showbiz and beyond will be joining us throughout the week. And we'll bring you live racing, as always, with Rupert Bell. Always on fine form, you're a commentator for all the big races and all the colour
I love Cheltenham.
The festival. So that's all next week between 1 and 4.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. So when are you seeing that girl from the call centre then? You said soon.
Yeah, we'll see. I'd like to give a plug to our producer's podcast, because if you're a fan of podcasts...
National Obsession.
Yes, it's his 100th edition.
100th edition. Charlie Baker and John... Cadogan, 100 editions of the...
I've only ever listened to one, but I gather it's quite good.
I mean, he's very good. And they've got a special guest in this one, the 100th edition.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.